You're listening to SBS News.
Nearly 100 heads of state have converged on the Egyptian Red Sea resort town of Sharm el-Sheikh, displaying an image of solidarity as they posed for a group photograph at the opening of the COP27 summit. Standing in the centre of the group, the United Nations Secretary General, who in his opening address laid bare the urgency of the climate summit. With calls from poorer countries yesterday for more action from rich polluters, Antonio Guterres called climate change the defining issue of our age.
The clock is ticking. We are in the fight of our lives and we are losing. Greenhouse gas emissions keep growing. Global temperatures keep rising, and our planet is fast approaching tipping points that will make climate chaos irreversible. We are on a highway to climate hell with our foot still on the accelerator.
Tensions between the two largest economies are still frosty after US House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan led to Beijing suspending cooperation on climate change. That has led Mr. Guterres to warn of what he called collective suicide.
The two largest economies, the United States and China, have a particular responsibility to join efforts to make this pact a reality. And this is our only hope of meeting our climate goals. Humanity has a choice, cooperate or perish. It is either a climate solidarity pact or a collective suicide pact.
This year, countries around the world have been facing increasingly intense natural disasters that have already taken thousands of lives and cost billions of dollars. In many cases, the world's poorest countries have been hardest hit. Floods have devastated Nigeria and Pakistan, while a years-long drought in the Horn of Africa has pushed Somalia to the brink of famine. Speaking on behalf of the African Group of Negotiators, Kenyan President William Ruto says water shortages are expected to displace up to 700 million people by 2030, along with a range of other expected climate impacts.
It is estimated that by 2050, climate impacts could cost African nations $50 billion annually. The Horn of Africa region, including Kenya, is experiencing the worst drought in 40 years. Two consecutive years without rain have visited misery on millions of people.
President Ruto called for greater action from the developed world, which he says has been responsible for the crisis affecting Africa.
Africa contributes less than 3% of the pollution responsible for climate change, but is most severely impacted by the ensuing crisis. And it is therefore only fair and proper that this conference takes necessary measures to recognize Africa's special needs and circumstances under the Paris Agreement, in line with the convention and relevant decisions adopted by previous COPs.
Leaders of low-lying island nations also reaffirmed the need for urgent action to curb carbon emissions. Faisal Nazim, the Maldives vice president, told the conference climate change was having devastating impacts on his country's coastline and marine environment.
The ocean is our nation's source of nourishment and income. Each year, our fishermen need to travel further and further to find abundant fisheries. Unpredictable monsoon shifts have risen in frequency and intensity, causing storm surges and flooding that have had irreparable damage to property and livelihoods. Our coral reefs, drawing tourists from around the world, are on life support.
King Tupo of Tonga says his country has come face to face with internal displacement caused by the environment after a massive volcanic eruption this year.
On the 15th of January this year, Tonga experienced a volcanic explosion equal to none in our living history. Homes were destroyed, lives were lost, and entire communities are deeply traumatized by sonic explosions and the resulting tsunami waves. Population displacement has now become a permanent feature for my people.
while the Prime Minister of Barbados, Mia Mottley, drew attention to the special significance of the country the summit was meeting in.
We have the collective capacity to transform. We're in the country that built pyramids. We know what it is to remove slavery from our civilization. We know what it is to be able to find a vaccine within 2 years when a pandemic hits us. We know what it is to put a man on the moon, and now we put in a rover on Mars. We know what it is. But the simple political will that is necessary, not just to come here and make promises, but to deliver on them and to make a definable difference in the lives of the people who we have a responsibility to serve, seems still not to be capable of being produced.
That lack of political will led to former US Vice President Al Gore to describe the global community as having a credibility problem. His impassioned plea to the summit was for the world to choose life over death.
We're talking and we're starting to act, but we're not doing enough. It is a choice to continue this pattern of destructive behavior. We have other choices. In my faith tradition, I learned a teaching that is common to all three of the Abrahamic religions, that God has set before humanity a choice between blessings and curses, between life and death. We face that choice today.
COP27 is scheduled to continue through to the 18th of November, with government ministers joining throughout the second week of discussions. Tysock Husey, SBS News.